Lord, we give it to you. And Lord, this morning, as Justin and I just share this morning, I pray that, Lord, it just honors you. And Lord, that it's a message for the people in here to hear. And Lord, we pray that they're able to hear it. Not only hear it, but live it out. And God, we pray as we just continue to live for you, that you just guide us in all ways. And we're thankful for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. So this morning, we're going to be talking about a journey, just our journey with Christ, and kind of similar to what we've done before for Senior Sundays of just journeying together and what that looks like. But as we start our journey this morning together, I wanted Justin to share a little bit about his journey up to this point. His journey to now, about his family, his friends, things that he loves, and also his faith. And so, Justin, share a little bit about you. If people want to know JB, what do we get to know?
Well, hello. My name is Justin Brandt, and I grew up in the Denison-Pottsboro area, and I've been coming to Park Avenue my whole life. I have two brothers, Jonathan and Jackson, and my parents are Ken and Kelly Brandt. And my faith and my journey have been up and down as I've been faced with temptations and struggles in my life. This church has been such a huge foundation for me as I've been able to meet Tyler, who has guided me all throughout high school as someone who I can look up to and learn off of. My best friend Carter also has been someone who has been huge in my faith journey as I brought him into the church, but sometimes he can give me more wisdom than I can myself. He's been my right-hand man, and God has blessed me with a brother. As I've been growing up with my faith journey, we started off as coming to church because it was my parents. You know, it's what they wanted. But as I had grown to understand myself and what God had wanted for me and has done for me and has in store for me, I've come to love and have believed in the one who has created me and who loves me. And even when I can't feel loved, he's always there for me.
Just a little about Justin, a little glimpse into his life. And for those who do know Justin, you got to see, if you've been a part of Park Avenue, you've seen him from a baby growing and growing up here. And I remember when he joined youth group going into seventh grade, many of you in this room were like, he's got a lot of energy, Tyler. Yes, he does. And he, paired with Carter and with Drew, had a lot of energy. And I loved it. They brought a lot of just kind of new life to the group because of that energy. And to see him here now and to see all of our seniors where they're at now means a lot. And to be able to watch through that journey. And I know many of you, as you think about your own journey, you're thinking of your ups and your downs and your highs, your lows, the different things that you have gone through. Some that are just now graduating high school. Some of you who graduated high school many years ago, we won't even count. But we're all on a journey with Christ, not only on our own, but together. And I think that is one reason why we wanted to share this. But it also got me thinking about a journey was just thinking, because we also just go on daily journeys or weekly journeys. Or I think about Basil just went on a journey hiking through Utah. But also a few years ago, my dad and I got to go on a journey that just looking at this short span, I'm like, man, it felt like that's a lot what life is like. And my dad and I went river rafting in Colorado for 5 days and five nights, camping on the side of the river each night. And through this journey, we had a purpose for this journey. For one, we wanted to go on some rough rapids, or I wanted to. My dad, probably not so much. But I was like, rough rapids. And then the end of this journey, we were going at the fifth day, we're going to get to go through the Royal Gorge. And that was kind of like, hey, that's our purpose. Like, we were so excited to go through this. And so as we're going on this journey, we had a purpose. We had a goal. We were going, striving for something. But through it, we also had trials. We lost paddles along the way. We almost flipped the raft multiple times. There was even one point they weren't even sure if they're going to get the food and the tent raft past a certain area that we were at. We're like, oh, this we could be hungry later. So we had our trials. We had some adversity. We also thankfully had guides on this journey, guides that were leading us and helping us to make sure we were heading in the right direction and make sure that our food and our luggage and all of that made it to the next stop. It was an experience. It was a journey that I got to experience with my dad, but as I look at it, I'm like, man, through life, we go through this journey of ups and downs, and we have a purpose. We have trials along the way, but we have thankfully have a guide, and then we have others with us as well. And so this morning, as we talk about that journey, the journey we are all on, the journey of faith and our journey with Jesus as our guide, we've got four key parts that we points we want to talk about on this journey. So the four key parts of our journey with Christ. First one is purpose. What is our purpose? What's the purpose behind it all? Each journey and daily, we think about, all right, what's our reason? Why are we doing this? Right? There's a purpose behind it. And many of you, each day you have a purpose for that day. Or you have purpose for that minute or that hour, like I'm doing this. You kind of know what you're doing. And purpose is something that you can kind of look at from different directions. But finding our purpose with Jesus is important. And knowing what our purpose with him and is so important. How is God going to continue to use us? Trying to figure out what that purpose is. Our purpose on this journey is to live for him. But if you're like me, you're like, okay, there's got to be a little more to it than just, I got to live for him. All right, what does that mean? I got to go a little deeper. I need more. And sometimes finding that purpose is not always easy. That is one thing that I know working with students for many years is this, the question of, well, what's my purpose? What purpose do I have? I don't have a purpose. How do I find my purpose? And that's an important thing that we have to navigate through on our journey is what is our purpose? We're going to talk about some of that as we look at this key point. But before we dig in deeper, I want Justin to share a story of him growing up and kind of just this idea of purpose and what that means.
Well, for me as a kid growing up, my family was really involved in this church, and which always inspired me to bring more people to the church and just find the love that I had for Christ for myself. My best friend Carter, who is my ride or die brother, wasn't as involved in the church as I was, but I always loved to invite him because if I was doing something, I wanted him to be there. With him coming over time, he grew just to come on his own and love the Lord and have his own faith. I love to know that I was a small part of his walk with Christ, but it also just helped me understand what my purpose and how I can use my walk with Christ to lead others into the world or to even love him as much as I have. Being able to be the person to plant the seed or even water the seed can go such a long way, and God can use me and my purpose to help bring more people to love him just as I have.
Man. And you saw that up here earlier with the friends, and you can see it over the years of friends that have been invited, and it's, he's not the only one, but we get to see some evidence of that fruit of where he found his purpose of sharing Jesus with others and bringing them and letting them hear God's word and sharing God's word with them. How important it is for us to have a purpose and using those purpose and that talents that God and gifts that God has given us for the purpose he has for us, to glorify him and for others to see him in us. There's a passage in scripture and a story in scripture that that many of you might know, and maybe some don't know the story well, but the story of Esther, as it talks about purpose. She, at the time, wasn't real sure of her purpose. But in Esther chapter 4, as she is, Esther is living her life, and she is queen and living with the king, and is trying to get by of just, even though she's a Jew, no one really knows. And she's there's a lot of trials for the Jews at this time. And she is able to kind of, she's sneaking by because of her role. And in this passage, she realizes she has a purpose. What her purpose is. In verse 12, it says, when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this. She was placed in her position for a time when God needed her. God's people needed her to step up. Now, God was going to find another way if she wasn't able to. And sometimes we have purposes and God places us at certain places and we miss our purpose. And we miss what he has planted us there for. Seniors, everyone else this morning, let God continue to mold us, right? To mold each of us for his purpose. Look for his purpose. Be praying for God. How can you use me today? God, help me to have the purpose to glorify you. On each of our journeys with Christ, how are we living out our purpose? Are you continuing to seek him and his wisdom to find your purpose? And I know many of you have. Many of you are serving the Lord in ways that I could never dream of, but it is a dream that you and God had, and you're living it out. And it's incredible how you serve people, how you share with others, right? Using your talents and gifts for him. Continue to let God mold you on this journey. And I think that's one great thing about journeys is we're being molded. We're being shaped. You're not a finished product when we start. But he's using and working in us as we go through it. And we find our purpose along the way. Ultimate purpose and goal is we're living for him. And one day we get to live with him in heaven, which I can't wait for. But right now we get to glorify him here and now. But one part about a journey, though. As I mentioned on the river rafting, there's always going to be adversity and trials, and we'll probably fall short or sin or make a mistake, right? Journeys are full of them, unfortunately, right? And whether you've had adversity in your life with Christ up to this point, maybe you haven't, but you will. There will be adversity in our life. And temptation that tries to pull us away, and even times where we give into that temptation. So how we work through adversity and through those failures can bring us closer to God, or they can push us farther away. So as we journey with Christ, how are we going to handle adversity and falling short? Justin is going to share a time of, as a young kid, where he faced adversity.
Well, if you know me, growing up, sports has been a huge aspect in my life. But as a kid, baseball was probably my number one sport growing up as a kid. I would say I was on one of the best select teams, traveling the world and having the time of my life. The sport, to my young mind, that I would be doing this sport forever. One day, I stopped receiving messages from the coach about practices and games. My mind thinking maybe it was just a break. They were still playing and practicing and had traded me for other people. For me, my favorite thing had been ripped away from me, and I didn't feel like I was good enough to play that sport. I felt so much adversity, and I didn't think I was even wanted. This was a tragic moment for me in my life, And it was hard to get over. As I was, you know, as a 12-year-old mind, you don't know how to go about this. But the good thing about this is that it brought me to a new sport and a new love of the sport of basketball. I got over what happened and still missed the sport, but God has other plans for me. And the adversity I felt had gone away as new doors were opened to help me go through and enjoy this new sport that I've come to love.
Throughout Scripture, we see many examples of those who go through trials, go through failures, where they've messed up or had the adversity that really rocked their world. We could use many stories up here to tie it into our point, but we started thinking as Justin and I were planning over the last few weeks of what direction to go with, we started thinking about David in this case. We know David, King David, was a man after God's own heart. Right? He truly loved the Lord. He lived for him. He was on a journey with God and loved him. And that's why we know him after man after God's own heart. But he also shows that he fell into temptation. And unfortunately, he didn't handle that failure and that adversity very well. And it compounded and it gotten worse. And Justin's going to share more about David.
So in the word in 2 Samuel 11, it says, one evening David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent messenger to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself for her monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, I'm pregnant. Throughout all this, David's failures didn't stop here. He continued to fail, killing Bathsheba's husband and more. These failures caused major adversities and a loss of his son. The turmoil in the family and more. I think things would have been different had he not let everything continue to compound onto each other. As we journey with Jesus, knowing we will face adversity and have failures, how we handle this is so important. Give them over to God, release control, and just asking for forgiveness. Seeking to follow him more, and don't let the failures or adversity define you and who you are.
Such a key of not letting them pull us away. Because for many of you in here, you've gone through the trials. You've gone through adversity. We've all sinned. And how we let those impact us from that point on is so important. And also being able to say, especially as it comes to sin, God, please forgive me. God, I need forgiveness. And accepting that forgiveness. And that leads us to our next key in this journey. First, we've talked about purpose. We have a purpose. Right? We find our purpose. We're reaching the ultimate goal. And then second is we're going to face adversity and trials. And third, how do we live out forgiveness? And so some of you are like, well, how does that play in a regular journey? Well, thankfully, we're talking about a journey with Christ, and where forgiveness is super important, but it's important in all aspects of life of how to forgive others and also accept forgiveness. We could have a series just on forgiveness and talk about forgiveness over and over. And I could stand up here and tell you how many times I've had to ask for forgiveness to Alyssa over and over, or even to Justin. He's like, I can tell you about times Tyler's had to ask for forgiveness. And many of you could share your stories of forgiveness. Okay? Not only how we've had to ask for it, but how we've had to receive it. Okay? Or also how we had to give forgiveness. Okay? Living out forgiveness looks so many different ways, right? Because not only do we have to accept it, not only do we need to accept it, we need to give forgiveness, ask for forgiveness. It plays a crucial part in our everyday life. that we are needing to truly live it out. One thing just up here at the moment I started thinking about was, you've heard about the group that is going through the pilot program Reengage. And one of the things that helped change how Alyssa and I have conversations with each other, especially as it comes to conflict, is this aspect of forgiveness. And so not just saying, I am sorry, because I was getting really good at saying, I am sorry. But I've changed my language to, Alyssa, will you please forgive me? It changes how we look at the situation. And I'm putting it back in her court of saying, Alyssa, I am sorry. What do I need to do? Like, I need forgiveness here, and I realize it. I'm not just sorry, but there's more to it that's deeper in that sense. And so truly living out forgiveness is so important on our walk with Jesus. And so Justin's going to share about some trials and tribulations.
So in my faith, there have been many trials and tribulations where I've fallen short. And I've fallen off the path that God has wanted for me, enjoying the worldly things and not wanting what the Spirit wanted me or what God wants for me. Something that my mom had always taught me was wanting what the Spirit wanted and always killing the flesh and letting what the Spirit wanted and keeping what the Spirit wanted. So then the flesh, you can't, you know, you're okay, and you can stay with the Spirit and stay in the Word with God. And having my friends like Drew and Carter and Big J, always being by my side and helping me, realizing what, you know, what God wanted. And realizing my faults and my actions and going to God for forgiveness and having, and what was a lot as I felt I had fallen and failed him, the man who sacrificed his life for me, and I took it for granted. I had to pray and work on myself and realize, even though what I had done doesn't make me less of a person or make me not God's child, he still loves me and forgives me. Something that me and Tyler were talking about as we were writing this, and I was writing this, I thought of when Peter denied Jesus three times. In John 21, 15 through 17, it says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon, Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said, yes, Lord. He said, yes. You know that I do. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said to the Lord, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Jesus wanted Peter to feel the forgiveness he was giving him. After going to Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus told Peter that he was going to deny him three times, and Peter did that. And so he didn't want him to just to hear once, but to truly believe that he loved him. We often struggle with accepting forgiveness. Jesus wants you to truly believe in his forgiveness and live it out, meaning we don't walk around with our heads down in shame, but held high because of what we have done in our lives, and that he is with us throughout this forgiveness, and knowing that there's more for us than the mistakes that we have.
So we live out our forgiveness journey, not only accepting his forgiveness and living it out. And I love that story of Peter, of Jesus said, I mean, says it three times so that he truly understands the love that Jesus is pouring back to him. And thankfully, it's not what we have done, but what he has done, and the reason we get that forgiveness. But also, how do we live out forgiveness on this journey with other people? And I think about in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, it says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? I don't have a brother. I had two sisters, so I really look closely at this one, especially growing up. Jesus didn't help me on this one. But Peter says, up to seven times is what Peter says. And Jesus answered, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Jesus doesn't limit his forgiveness for us. And we can't limit our forgiveness for others. We have to be able to forgive. not only accept his forgiveness and take on his forgiveness and living it out, but we also give forgiveness to other people, right? We ask for forgiveness, but we give forgiveness when people have hurt us. And I know some of you are like, but Tyler, this happened. And I understand, and I hear you. In some of those cases, I can't even imagine the pain and the felt, the things that you feel in that. I can't. And I'm not going to try to say I do. But here's what I do know. The sin that Christ took on, the forgiveness he gives to us, is so much greater than we can ever imagine. So how do we just give back that forgiveness to other people and willing to forgive them, even on those, man, hard, heartfelt times? But it's because of what he has done and the strength he gives us from the passage that Jay mentioned earlier. The last point, as we start to finish up and wrap up this morning, as we've made our journey through, but how do we let others have a part of this journey? And how do they come alongside us? And I know I talked about this a few weeks ago, but mentors and other Christ followers, being a part of our journey is so important. And you've heard a very important person, a part of Justin's journey over the last little bit that we've talked. He wants to share a little bit more about this person, but because this person has a key spot in his life. And we're pretty sure he's watching right now. So, hey, Carter, good to see you. All right. But how important it is to have other believers walk alongside us is so important. And so, Justin, share about Carter walking alongside you.
For me, Carter has been a huge aspect of my life. I know I've had Big J on my side. I've had Drew, who came into second grade. I've had his family. I've had Big J's family. And Carter's family and my own family, who have been a huge blessing in my life, and I couldn't have asked for anything better. But Carter stands out because he's been there since I can remember. Carter has been my day one and has been growing in his faith every single day. Even where he's at right now, it's hard for him to have his faith, but he keeps on going, and that inspires me. Carter has been such a huge mentor for me. When I'm looking for encouragement for a path, I always want to go to him because he seems to always reference God and always reminds me, what would God want and how would he want me to handle a situation? He's been there for me at my lowest of lows and my highest point, but has always let me feel for love and always let me know, even when I don't feel like God is there for me. God has used Carter to be such a huge mentor for me, even though he didn't fully grow up as I did. He still helps me in ways I couldn't imagine. And I'm so blessed to have these families, and especially Carter and his family, and I couldn't have asked for better.
So important to have those people that walk alongside us. And church, I mentioned earlier the impact that you had on each one of these seniors, graduating seniors up here. You have walked alongside them. And you continue to. And the ones who have graduated, you continue to walk alongside them as well. And I'm just mindful of not only Timothy or Paul's examples to Timothy as the mentorship. Right? Paul, who to Timothy, my true son, he truly loved him. And you love each other. Like a true relative, like someone who you care about. They might not even be blood, but you love them. And that's how Paul gave us an example of that, of how to love our other believers and lead them and mentor them. And then I'm also reminded of just in Acts chapter 11 of Barnabas. It talks about in verse 22, the news reached the church in Jerusalem and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, he saw what the grace of God had done. He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Barnabas was another one who encouraged other believers. He came alongside them. He was an encourager. And that's, as we think about being walking alongside people in their faith journey, walking alongside people in their journey with Christ, we encourage each other. We might be just the person that gets to be their friend, maybe not the mentor, but we're the one who's able to give them just that encouragement they need. And then they get to return it to us. That's a great part about being a part of the body of Christ is we're not alone in this journey. And that we go together. And that we're surrounded by others on this journey. As we close this morning, thinking about the journey with Christ. We could have done a 10-part list, but y'all don't want to be here that much longer. And the food will be getting cold before too much longer. But what I do know is this journey is one that, yes, it's going to have its trials. It's going to have some difficulties. We're going to have to stretch ourselves on this journey. But Jesus is with us. He's already fought the big war. He's won it. And as we go through the other battles, he is with us on this journey. He doesn't leave us alone. My encouragement this morning as we close is, especially to our graduating seniors, but if it sparks with anyone else, I hope you hear it as well. You're heading out onto a new chapter of your journey. Changes are coming. Things are going to look different. But don't forget who's going on the journey with you. And that is Jesus. And he wants you to stay with him. Make sure, as you go on this journey, through all aspects of life, the highs, the lows, that Jesus is right alongside you. He wants to be. Are you going to let him? He wants to go right there, hand in hand. Unfortunately, we get too good at pushing him away. But make sure that you don't. Get plugged into a church wherever you go. And be a person that is on purpose for him. And living out this journey with Christ. Let's stand and sing together.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. I need you, my one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. When sin runs deep, your grace is more, where grace is found, is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay, And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Good morning. Well, welcome all our guests this morning. We always have guests. We're glad you're here. And especially this morning, we have family and relatives and friends of our seniors today. And we're just really glad that you're here. We're thankful that we've been able to share in the lives of your seniors for the last several years. Thank you, Braden and Jalen and Justin and Drew and Tyler and Basil, for directing our service this morning. And thank you for Shelby and Buckley for our video announcements. You know, we honor our seniors every year, yes, because they've reached a milestone, but basically we honor them because they're important. They're important to our church family. And if you've ever had kids, or if you have children now, that you know what a blessing children are to every family. And don't think for one minute that our young people are not important to the Park Avenue family. You know, God created each one of them, gave them to us to nurture and to train and to love. And I just encourage you to every day pray for our young people. Again, senior parents, we're glad that you're here. And families, after I pray, and while Basil is leading in our closing song, you need to leave and get front of the line before the rest of these chow hounds get there. So as soon as Basil starts his song, then please exit the auditorium and go across to the ark to begin that meal. I'll make sure I haven't missed anything. Let's pray. Thank you for our time together this morning, Heavenly Father. As a family of your disciples, we exalt you as your almighty, as our almighty God and our King. As we go into this new week, we pray that we'll be looking for the opportunities that you'll put before us to serve and to minister to our fellow man. Give us strength and wisdom to stand up and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Give comfort to those in our family who are hurting. Heal those who are ill. And especially this morning, we lift up the family of our brother, Roy Galyon. And I pray that we will all put you first in our hearts and minds. Again, Heavenly Father, we lift up to you Justin and Jalen, Drew and Beth, Braden, Allison, Austin, Shelby, and Buckley. Their church family prays that you will watch over them and by the power of your Holy Spirit guide them. We pray that each one of them will have a heart that lets them follow your lead throughout their life. We're about to enjoy a meal with our seniors provided by you. Bless that meal and the other activities of this afternoon. And as we leave this place, I pray that each of us will show forth the light of your Son in our daily lives. And we long for the day when we will see you face to face in heaven. Amen.
I want you to know that Justin chose this last song, "The Lord Bless You and Keep You." He said, "I want you to sing that song where my mama sings really pretty." So here's to mama.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord Lord lift his countenance upon you
and give you peace
and give you peace. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you.
Be gracious,
the Lord be gracious, gracious unto you.
Amen.